T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The brackets are out and UConn begins its title defense. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And Perloff, the committee did not do UConn a lot of favors. They get into the East region, which has other conference champions like Iowa State, like Illinois, like Duquesne. Yep. They also have two of the Final Four teams from a year ago in Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. This is going to be a very, very tough title defense for UConn, although they do get to play close to home. They start in Brooklyn and then would advance to Boston.
Also, Auburn, Bruce Pearl, has them playing really tough. They can get past my Yaleys. Who knows? It is interesting that it's a tough bracket. I, like EJ, watched a Danny Hurley interview last night, and he seems just... He's a coach who's not going to let them have a championship letdown. Now, but the reality, and I read the stats earlier, is that since 2007, you have not had a repeat champion.
Yep.
And not only that, you haven't had anybody get past the Sweet 16, and only a few have even gotten to the Sweet 16. We saw this recently. Kansas got booted early. Generally, champions do not do well. So to me, for Connecticut to win again would buck so many trends that it would be incredibly impressive.
Well, because usually when you're winning a title, that's the pinnacle. This is the best your team could be, and the guys either go to the NBA or, you know, generally just go to the NBA or graduate if you have a bunch of seniors. I don't think that that's what's happening with UConn. I think they brought back a lot of people from that title team to go for it again. There's another question here, which is, let's just say that UConn does win the yep. title, and they do become the first back-to-back champs since the Florida Gators. Would it mean more or would it mean less in because of this current era that we're in where there's more parity in the sport, it feels like, than there's ever been? Specifically this year, remember, it was like a death knell if you got ranked yep. in the top five. That means all of a sudden you were going to lose the next week.
Yeah, and to me that means more, that they've been able to break through this era of parity. It's an incredible achievement. Like, the team that you mentioned, by the way, Baylor won 2 years ago. They came back. They brought a really good team back and were upset. Kansas brought a really, really good team back. They were number one seed. They got upset. So it's not impossible. I think for UConn to do this, and that's why I think it feels impossible. There's just too much parity in college basketball. If they could break through that parity, to me, it's more impressive than, say, Duke winning back-to-back in the 90s.
See, I think it's a little, I don't say less impressive, it's still very impressive, but let's just say UConn wins again and they become back-to-back champs. Because there's so much parity now in the sport, it's not as top-heavy. That means that you, essentially, to get to the title, you're beating a lot of very good but not great teams.
But why isn't it work then? I mean, you're telling me that nobody's brought back enough players to win back-to-back?
No, I'm saying now in the era of parity, I think you're playing against a lot of very good teams, not great teams. Before, when you had guys who were staying for a lot of years, I know Armando Bacot's still at UNC, but you know what I'm saying? You had guys who were together, even a starting five could be together for several years in a row. You're not having that because of NIL.
Yeah.
It's much, you know, the talent is spread out a lot more. You have guys who aren't even going to college. That's obviously a lot different too. But it's not top heavy. The sport is anything but top heavy.
Right.
So to make it through, yeah, you have more good teams, but where are the truly elite teams that you would be running into?
Right, but my argument is that's been true the last 5 years, and yet none of these champions have been able to do it back to back. Who are a lot of them are in kind of similar situations to UConn, where they brought back similar teams, same coaches. And something happens because UConn last year thumped everybody. I thought last year was a bit. Here's the other thing. I think there are going to be more blue bloods in the Final Four. You're not going to have Miami, Florida Atlantic, and San Diego State every year. There could be a Kentucky, Arizona, North Carolina. If UConn can beat teams like that, I think history is going to show this is an incredible feat. I think it'll be celebrated big time.
Who's the true? It will be. Who's the truly great team right now outside?
Well,
of UConn.
Okay,
the other number one seeds. Are you telling me is North Carolina a great team?
No,
they're very
no.
good. Houston, yeah. I don't think so. And Purdue, we've already talked about. I don't even think they're making it to the Sweet 16.
Right, but I do think beating North Carolina in the Final Four, or beating Kentucky in the final game, or beating even Purdue,
right.
who is a number one team, has been a number one team 2 years in a row, I think that'll look better than beating San Diego State.
No, I hear you, and it might happen. But if I'm North Carolina, so I made it to the title game the first year under Hubert Davis, and then I missed the tournament 2 years in a row. You know, it's not like it's been this consistent boom here. Listen, they're a great team now. I'm not taking anything away. I just think this is easier, I think, what UConn is attempting to do now, especially in this particular year where it was upset central in the top 25.
I see. I think people just remember the name North Carolina.
Probably.
They won't break down the rosters like that. You're right. It's a completely different era of college basketball. But the reality is, too, I mean, UConn is not so dominant. They're not Patrick Ewing's Georgetown Hoyas. They are really, really good. They're really well coached. They can beat you in any kind of way. But, you know, we're looking at our bracket right now. They have a really tough draw. And you know, they're not so far head and shoulders above. I don't think they're going to repeat. So that's why I'm going to give them gigantic points if they do. I'm going to count this up there as one of the great achievements in college basketball.
Is there a chance that this may be an easier feat for UConn, the program, because of the landscape of college basketball, but a harder feat for Danny Hurley to do this, given what happens usually with the turnover with the transfer portal, the turnover with guys leaving one and done? I almost look at this and say, hey, well, I think of this UConn program the same way I thought about Duke in the 90s or even Florida in the mid-2000s. I don't see that because I just think that those teams had more talent. But for a head coach to take – this is a similar team, but it is very different. Their starting backcourt is almost entirely different. They're starting a center now, Klingland, who was a backup last year. He played a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
To take
and had a really good Final Four.
He had an awesome
game.
Final Four. Yeah. But to take essentially it's somewhat two different teams and still find a way to get them to play the right way, play the way he wants, play the way as intense as he is, to get these two teams to win two championships for him, I would say that's an awesome feat.
He'll be high up on the all-time list. If he could do this now, I agree with EJ. I think this will be a credit to Danny Hurley first and foremost.
It definitely will, but think about he's also coming along at a time where Coach K just retired.
Yeah.
Roy Williams
yeah.
retired a couple years ago. Jim Boeheim just retired. Tom Izzo, how much longer? Well, maybe Tom Izzo will do this forever. but you have a lot of – there has been some turnover with some of the old guard is leaving, so this is a perfect time for Danny Hurley.
And this is, in many ways, Hurley has a chance to be immortalized because I think we are in a transition period when it comes to college basketball and really college football coaches too. We're seeing a lot of guys not wanting to do it anymore either.
Yeah,
like we've seen a lot of legends go by the wayside very recently in college basketball, and right now there's kind of a dearth. I think when people think about the NCAA tournament and why maybe people are so unfamiliar with these teams, yes, the one and done guys and the guys playing in G League certainly hurt, but I think honestly the lack of big name coaches hurts as well. There is no Roy Williams, there is no Coach K. We've lost some massive figures in college basketball.
Yeah, and Bob Huggins had to resign.
Right.
I mean, you still have Calipari and you still have Scott Drew and you still have a lot of these big, Shaka Smart, but again, the wins leader guys, the older guard, for sure. I mean, and Danny Hurley would be a massive star.
I mean, Kay and Roy Williams, those are icons. like who are the icons today besides Izzo and maybe Self that exist? We lost Jay Wright, another guy. Like, we've lost some titans in college basketball. And it seems like the guys, even the guys you're mentioning, like, we're not looking at them saying, oh, they're a lock to make it in that championship. These four number one seeds, Kelvin Sampson's a great coach, but I don't think people put him in that field. I don't think nobody's put Matt Painter in that field.
Or Rick Barnes. I mean, Matt Painter and Rick Barnes are two notorious NCAA tournament jokers.
I mean, there are some big names. Bill Self, obviously, and Bruce Pearl, and you can go down the list. They're big names. You're right. They're not on that icon level.
I mean, Kay and Williams talk about one and three all-time wins.
But also,
the
sport has changed so much, too, because obviously UConn's a ridiculously old team, just like Jay Wright's Villanova teams. Like, they're age means such a big deal now.
But I think that's, and honestly, I think that's why UConn has been so dominant, is because they have the mix of young guys in Klingon and Stephon Castle, who I love when it comes to NBA draft time. And then you got the mix of old guys. You got Tristan Newton. You got the other guard in the backcourt. Like, They have the perfect mixture. And then you got a coach who's not experienced, who won a national championship. That's why I think when we look at this, and Cam Spencer was the guy I was thinking about. When you look at this team, it's like they have everything you want to win a national championship. So, like, what can go wrong? But it is March Madness, so really anything can go wrong.
Yeah, and they are in this tough East region, but you start breaking it down a little bit, and even though you have all these other conference champions and stuff in the region, are you really picking any of those again over UConn? Like, if push comes to shove, are you picking Auburn over UConn?
I mean, I'm not.
I am.
I'm not.
That's my big upset.
Well, never mind.
I'm going Auburn. I'm going with this stat just gives the lack of success of defending champions, and I just watched the SEC tournament a lot of, because I was watching Dalton connect like a hawk this year, because Tennessee fans kept tweeting me.
Yeah.
I tell you, those that
you might
SEC,
never live that down.
That SEC is brutal, and those teams play crazy defense.
The SEC, though, wasn't last year, did no teams make it past the first weekend?
Yeah, year to year league.
The SEC has been kind of iffy come NCAA tournament time. So Auburn's weird because Auburn has an awesome front court. Mm. But oftentimes, Kansas showed recently you can win with awesome front court. But oftentimes, if you don't have experience or seasoned guard play, it's tricky. And they're starting a freshman at point guard. And it's relying on that guy and these wacky games to close out can be tricky.
So maybe we should put the poll up. In this era of whatever you want to call this, parity in men's college basketball, would it be more impressive or less impressive if UConn were to repeat? This is something also, Pearl, if this is an old cut from you and me, you and I do not agree about whether UConn's a blue blood.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think they are.
I'm not as sold on UConn blue blood. By the way.
But if they won back-to-back titles, do they finally get a boost for you?
That is a good. That's a good argument. But Florida won back-to-back titles, and nobody has them as a blue blood in basketball.
I know, but UConn's won all these other titles, too.
By the way, watch out for Yale-Auburn first round. I am now scared of Yale as I look at Auburn's bracket. That's what. So,
by the way,
Auburn,
the Yale buzzer beater was
amazing,
awesome.
That was like a high school buzzer beater if I've ever saw one.
It would look like a high school buzzer beater, not just because of the shot selection, which is basically like a little bunny jumper, or whatever, from the post, but also because it looked like it was in a high school gym.
Well, they were playing at Columbia, which basically is a high school gym. I've covered the games there.
So UConn's first title was 99. If you think, when I think blue blood, I think Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Duke, whose first title, first Final Four, was in the 80s, too. I understand that. But I just don't think Connecticut has blue blood history. To me, is 60 years, not 30. That's my argument. And also, too, like those schools all, I don't know, there's something different about Duke and North Carolina and Connecticut.
See, I think Connecticut gets it because also on the women's side bumps them up because they are one of the premier, they are the one of like four or five premier programs on the women's side. I think it just shows the investment that's made into basketball. Like, it's a basketball school.
I guess so, but that seems kind of thin to me. I mean, when I think of historical basketball programs, it's clearly, and by the way, when did the women's dominance start?
In the 90s.
Fairly recent, too.
Yeah, 90s.
So, blue blood, it's a definition has to go back longer.
But, Duke started essentially in the 90s. Their first Final Four runs.
They got in the 80s. They were starting to become elite.
They were
getting elite.
Really good in the 80s.
Yeah. But not the 60s.
Championships were in the 90s.
Well, Gene Banks went there. At least they go back. Like, their program was in the ACC. I just think they're different. Duke is, by the way, thinner blue blood. North Carolina is a real blue blood.
And Kentucky
is a real blue blood.
And UCLA.
Yeah. For some reason, UConn just feels different. When I think blue blood, and I think college basketball, Tobacco Road, in my mind, and Kansas, and these are meccas of basketball where high school basketball also rules.
Indiana would probably.
Who's more of a blue blood, Indiana or Connecticut?
I think UConn. Look at the titles.
Indiana is famous for basketball.
Right.
So is UConn.
There's no Connecticut basketball high school players. I mean, probably good. But Indiana basketball is a religion. You're going back to 1937 and Hoosiers.
But if you look at the programs, UConn smokes Indiana for like the last 30 years.
Right, that's what I'm saying. This is why this has been an argument that Perloff and I have had both on the air and off the air for going on. Well, definitely 3 years.
Who's a more elite program right now? Of course, UConn. But who's more of a blue blood? UCLA, too. UCLA hasn't done much, and still they're UCLA basketball.
Only UCLA has been to some Final Fours of late. I mean, Indiana's last Final Four was like 2001, and that was kind of a Cinderella run with Jared Jeffries. Like, UConn, to me, and you think about NBA players, too. A lot of guys that went to the NBA have been high draft picks. I think that factors in as well when I think of NBA, when I think of blue
blood. Counter-argument. Jim Calhoun. I don't know.
What do you have to say about three titles?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was he in trouble? They all get in trouble.
He got in trouble, and also, do they give like there's like love for Dean Smith out there in the world, and you know, Calipari. I just think Jim Calhoun was not exactly.
Do people love Calipari?
No, but at least he's a huge name. But I'm just saying, Jim Calhoun to me does not scream blue blood. He's
recruiting
something
violations.
Completely
I mean, everyone's
he wasn't
got
exactly
him.
A lovable figure either. He's sort of
Jim
a grump.
Bob Knight was a lovable figure.
People love Bob Knight.
In
I
Indiana,
do not.
I'm saying
Bob Knight's a pretty popular coach. You guys love the movie Blue Chips. What do you think that's based on?
No, it's based on Bob Knight. But
Bob Knight's a very popular figure in the sport.
Extremely polarizing.
Extremely polarizing, but he's probably the one or two most famous coaches of our life. John Wooden and Bob Knight.
One would say famous, one would say infamous. Yeah.
I think you guys are underestimating how many people loved Bob Knight.
No, it's not about that, but you're talking about how Jim Calhoun's tenure ended at UConn versus how Bob Knight's tenure ended at Indiana. I know he went on to Texas Tech.
Well, I understand what you guys are saying, but Bob Knight also coached the Olympic team. Bob Knight is the father of millions of coaching trees. Coaches worship Bob Knight.
Oh,
He's famous. He's incredibly influential. Jim Calhoun, not so much.
I mean, Jim Calhoun with the guys he sent to the NBA, no, he's not on the – he probably should be. That's why I think he's kind of underrated.
I think his personality was a little grumpy.
Yeah, Bob Knight.
Bob Knight. Crazy,
Bob Knight literally
Bob Knight was fireworks. Jim Calhoun was just sort of grumpy.
855-212-4CBS. Again, we'll argue about this till the end of the time. Is UConn a blue blood if they win the back-to-back titles?
Bob Knight went undefeated. There's a lot going on with Bob Knight.
Jim Calhoun probably had to get close, though, right?
Jim Calhoun was 34-2 in 99 when Rip Hamilton and them won. I mean,
there's plenty of teams that have done that. I mean,
34-2? Plenty of teams that have done that. I mean, I don't know.
Bob Knight was undefeated for an entire season. I mean,
that's
what I'm saying. Crazy
that's
achievement.
Very rare. Yeah. I don't know if people.
Very rare. I think they're in, aren't they?
UCLA.
Yeah. UCLA's done it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're the last team to
they're
do it.
They're the last team to do it, correct.
855-212-4CBS. I'm telling you, this one will never get resolved. This is a big board of disagreements.
If I put out a poll, who is more iconic, Knight or Jim Calhoun?
Nobody thinks that he's not more iconic.
No.
We're just saying that if you're talking about...
Is UConn a blue blood?
Yeah, UConn a blue blood. You're saying the reason why you don't think so is because Calhoun isn't up to that standard?
No, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think it's the recency. I think it's the region. I think it's the coaching.
But also, I got to put some respect on Northeast basketball. I mean,
why?
New York and New Jersey
New York,
basketball?
New York, is Philly, college basketball, it's not exactly a powerhouse.
No, but the players who play there make huge impacts in college basketball. Everybody wants to recruit in this area.
Yeah.
It's true. What do you mean?
Well, Pennsylvania, too. Is it Rip Hamilton from Doylestown, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the reason why UConn has been so great is that they have recruited this area so well. Like, I know what you're saying in terms of, yes, Indiana basketball is the state. It's so important.
Yeah.
But you tell a New Yorker or a person from New Jersey and Philly that high school basketball isn't also
high school is huge.
Huge.
Right,
like it's a big part of it. And I think UConn's brand, part of what makes your UConn brand so popular and so enticing for a lot of these kids is the opportunity to play at a quote unquote blue blood that is very close.
Right. Oof. And it is, you know, the geography. That is not a pleasant place to go.
You know, I've actually never been to Storrs.
Oh, geez, Louise. It's out in the middle of nowhere in Connecticut. It's just it's very much isolated.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in. On UConn, what would it mean if they did win back-to-back titles? Same thing for LSU on the women's side, by the way. They are a blue blood for women's college basketball. No doubt about that.
Are they?
Well, I guess Louisiana Tech was actually
of
the
blue
blood.
Yeah, it's kind of more... It's funny. I feel like the head coach, she kind of built a blue blood in Baylor and then left and is now creating a blue blood in LSU. I'm of the thinking that new blue bloods can be created. Like, I'm not even thinking that like the blue bloods we had 20 years ago are the only ones. Like, I think Villanova basketball is a blue blood. Now, they've had some rough years under Kyle Neptune. I'm not sure how much longer that's going to stick. But I think the blue blood title can be given to you later and then also taken away.
I think there's two tiers of blue blood, though. There's the Villanovas and the Indiana. I'm not, maybe in UConn's. And then there's the old school ones.
Yeah, I think so. But again, at what point do you lose your status? Like, and I know I'm jumping to another sport, but to me, Nebraska cannot be called a blue blood in football anymore. Like, they're not. Like, that team has been irrelevant for 30 years. They haven't been to the national championship game since 2001 when they got smoked by Miami.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that you're just grandfathered in as a blue blood and then you just keep it. And which is why I think Indiana's on tenuous terms, because it's been a long time since they've been relevant when it comes to the March Madness picture.
A new committee.
also
to determine who's blue blood and who's not. It's a moving target.
Us popularity too. I don't think NCAA necessarily wants UConn in the final. They would much rather have a North Carolina Duke. Those are the big popular teams because a lot of people grew up watching North Carolina and Duke, where maybe UConn more recently.
I think they want Kentucky.
Yes. Duke is number one.
Duke and Kentucky.
I think it's Duke and then Cliff, then Kentucky. Duke is huge. Yeah. Oh, Duke is monstrous.
I know Duke is monstrous, but...
Well, unfortunately, we can't have Duke versus Kentucky in the final because they're both in the South region.
I don't think we're getting Duke in the final anyway, are we?
We might get Duke and Kentucky in the Elite Eight.
I know one thing. You talked about getting those people from Rocky Top upset. The people who do not want to get upset, and I also know this from experience, do not get Big Blue Nation upset. Talking about where they are and where they rank in terms of fan bases. They are also massive and usually very angry.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do when it comes to March Madness. We've got the biggest things that Perloff and I noticed from yesterday. We'll get to that. Also, we check in on one of our favorite NFL quarterbacks. Do that next. Put a pause on the March Madness talk just for a moment to update you on, oh, what a bummer. Near miss. We could have had an all-time season of football with Aaron Rodgers also potentially running as the vice presidential candidate in this country, but it looks like that's not going to happen anymore, Perloff. Looks like RFK Jr. instead is going to go with a attorney, someone named Nicole Shanahan. The headlines call her a wealthy attorney.
So, by the
way, she's going to be the vice
president. RFK Jr. is like, and Aaron Rodgers, I'm not going to get political here, but their whole thing is anti-big pharma.
Yeah.
So she was married to Sergey Brin. I mean, she's as big tech as humanly possible.
Yeah,
so,
Google founder, right?
Yeah, yeah. So now he's part of big tech, and this is so weird. What a choice. But I told you Aaron Rodgers was never going to be vice president.
I know.
And of course he could deny it because he was high as a kite somewhere in South America on ayahuasca. I felt like that whole story was a big nothing.
The idea of him being so high that he can't even deny that he
doesn't. You want him writing a tweet on ayahuasca, Maggie?
Well, somehow he got a tweet out about Sandy Hook because obviously that didn't come from him.
He was coming down at that point, but yeah.
Jeez. Well, this woman is also not going to be vice president. I just think it's funny.
Fact.
I just think it's also funny that Aaron Rodgers, we looked it up the other day, he's made $300 million just from football alone. That's no other investments. That's not State Farm. And yet she's the wealthy person. Like, how much money do you need to be considered wealthy in this country?
Wow.
I'll tell you what, I don't got it.
$300 million, isn't that backup shooting guard in the NBA right now? Alan Crabman's made that this year. So Aaron Rodgers is about to get $50 million. There's no way he was turning that down to lose a vice president. You say it's no money. $50 million, that's 18% of $300 million. That's a gigantic sum of money for Aaron Rodgers.
No, I get it. It's just like... $300 million is a lot of money, yet RFK needs this woman.
Yeah.
She's the wealthy one, and Aaron Rodgers is what, the stiff?
Oh, it's $300 million is not tech money. That's change, pocket change for some of these people. But Aaron Rodgers, can we talk about the fact that, I hate to say it, I might be buying into the Jets again. I hate to do this, but I enjoy seeing EJ and Bilotti suffer.
No, don't buy into anything we are rooting for.
You have to admit, though, it was a pretty darn good weekend in Jets land.
I know. They got Tyron Smith from the Dallas Cowboys.
He's a free agent.
The offensive line. Yeah, the Cowboys have released him. Jets scooped him up.
That's amazing.
See what he's got left in the tank.
That is, and a lot of good teams wanted him. I think that is a huge, huge deal.
Jets came into the offseason, and one of their biggest weaknesses was tackle, and I don't think you can say that today. I think you'd say it's a strength, which is not something I expected.
Well, the question is, why didn't they do this last year? Maybe they would have actually had Aaron Rodgers for more than four snaps. But
that was four snaps.
I know. It was
if they'd had a better offensive line, he got sacked on three of those four. You're right. But
yeah, trust me, he wasn't getting hurt there. He was going to get hurt at some point.
I think anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he's not getting any younger. But no, this is definitely a positive development for the Jets and for Aaron Rodgers. And
also,
I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, in the midst of his ayahuasca fog, instead of coming out with some greater understanding of who he is, probably came out and was like, you better sign some
Aaron Rodgers better not screw this up. Because
you know David Bakhtiari's
because
coming.
This year, he's going to have less expectations than they had last year. And he's going to be set up with a better offense this year than he was last year. So less expectations, but actually a better team. This guy better not screw this up.
Well, one thing, there's a rumor Odell Beckham is out there now that he might be coming to the Jets. That kind of unfairly raises expectations. He's more of a journeyman at this point. And Mike Williams is in town. So I think the hype train's going to get revved back up again for the Jets, because that Tyron Smith's a surefire Hall of Famer. He's not that old. That's a big deal. I think people are going to get back into the Jets.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we've seen really good offensive linemen, Andrew Whitworth, Jason Peters, obviously. Like, they go on and they continue to play really well into their mid to late 30s.
Andrew Whitworth was the first name that jumped to mind. Went from the Bengals to the Rams and won a Super Bowl. Like KJ saying, Aaron Rodgers better not screw this up.
I mean, you realize who you're talking about, right? Meanwhile, that's the latest what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. Looks like he will not be in the running for VP. Andrew Bogish, I'm sorry if I stepped on that as one of your headlines.
No, just, you know, personally, that's a good one. That sigh of relief you might have heard late yesterday afternoon probably came from the AAC finale, where UAB ended the Cinderella run of Temple. The Owls were 5-13 during conference play, but ended up one win away from the big dance. Now, we would normally love a story like that, but don't forget the Temple is somehow connected to serious gambling speculation. We did this story about 2 weeks ago. There's been some suspicious betting around their games. One watchdog group flagged a particular contest, telling casinos to be careful taking bets on it. We still don't know much about the story, who's involved, why it was happening, but imagine Temple's, they get in, and then we find out that people like within the program
were
in the wrong here. And what do you do at that point?
It would probably like null and void the whole region.
I don't know.
I'm not sure you heard other teams. It would certainly null and void their run.
Could you have pulled them out? Like, could you have canceled them before their first round game, or if they had won their first round game, knocked them out?
I just feel like this is something that Ray Liotta should be like narrating. May he rest in
peace.
Definitely. It's like from Goodfellas.
I mean, I know there's, I'm going to sound very maybe anti, I guess, American, but I know there are investigations and they got to play out. But this is almost one of those things where if this happened, whatever evidence they have, they need to tell us. Like, we need to know exactly what it is they're investigating. Why are they so suspicious about this team and that game they played a couple of weeks ago?
I think
the fact that we're in this cloud of, like, we don't know what was involved or who was involved, that would have been very nasty.
We know the point spread changed from 2-8 in moments.
In hours, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then they got blown out by 30.
It's still all circumstantial. Like, to me, if you're investigating it, you must have some kind of evidence that's leading you to push forward.
But look at the bigger picture, though. We understand how it feels like sports gambling is just completely blown up here. So I feels if you're telling me a team is more susceptible now than ever, and we know there's a history of college sports cheating, it's easy to believe that. It's easy to believe the A team. I'm not saying the Temple in specific.
Yeah, right.
It's easy to believe that a team would get involved in this. And if they do get caught, not only are they facing legal challenges, I mean, I think you got to give them death penalty for me. If they were actually throwing games, then it'll ruin the sport.
You're right. I mean, I think everything would be on the table. It's funny because, like, no one even during this investigation, not one player has sat out, been suspended, had any kind of mysterious illness or, you know, ankle sprain or something you could explain it away to keep them off the court. And then the other part, I'm reading this article, this is from CBSSports.com. How is Temple doing against the spread since the investigation started? 5-0.
And would
all
it be
of a sudden
better,
finding this level of consistency that they had not previously had.
Is that good or bad? Was winning proving that they were throwing the other games? I was wondering if they won that tournament, they would have gone into the tournament 17-19.
Yeah.
It would have been incredible. I watched that game because Bogus was texting me about it. I was so invested. And they're the laziest team I've ever seen. Like, they could barely get the ball past half court without turning the ball over.
It was like, are they throwing this game?
I actually thought, I was like, oh my God, because a guy would just be standing there and let someone steal it and walk away. They must have been exhausted. I think that was actually the reason. But they looked like hot garbage in this game.
If they would have made the tournament, I think, and I know it's not technically a Power 5, but AAC is a pretty decent conference, they should have been a 16 seed.
Yeah,
they should have. Like, that's how, because I've also seen some Temple basketball. My brother went to Temple. That team was so awful this year, and maybe there's a reason why they were so awful.
Yeah, I think they were trying to lose games.
But they should have been, that would have been their best, I don't say punishment, but okay, if they're going to make the tournament, and we're going to have to sit around and pretend like this is a team that's not under investigation, all right, go play UConn.
Yeah, right.
Like, go out there, and let's see
get
you
smoked.
Get smoked by them.
Hmm.
I'm a lifelong Temple, Big Five. I love Temple. I'm super into Temple. You know, I remember Mark Macon and like you go
Aaron
back,
McKee.
Aaron McKee. There's so many great players. That's why I'm really disappointed. I hope this isn't true.
And I don't know if you guys saw this, but yesterday after they lost, their post-game presser, the coach brought the entire team to the podium. They all stood behind him.
You might as well just bring your kids up out there. This is when you don't want to answer any real questions. Like, here's my four-year-old who's up on the dais.
Be nice to me.
Yeah, so the beat reporters don't ask me why I suck.
Maggie can see a coach who is avoiding blame from a mile away.
it's like, coach, you don't even have any kids. Whose kid is that?
It's like, kid.
Don't worry about it.
Get Coach Fisher a kid's dad. Temple did not get an NIT invite to then turn down, but St. John's, Pitt, Oklahoma, Ole Miss all said no thanks after missing out on the big dance. Tom Crean has EJ's back in this debate.
If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit out. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put 5, 6, 7 people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
The former coach got heated at current coaches on ESPN last night. And you know what? Maybe I would sign up for this. You want to give me like a ragamuffin St. John's team playing the NIT? Okay, fine. Like guys 9 through 14 and an assistant coach because Patino's pissed? That's good TV. I'll take that.
You say a ragamuffin team?
That used to be when our high school coach, when we were playing poorly, which was quite often, that's what he would call us. He looked like a bunch of ragamuffins.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite, like, old school.
That's an
school,
old man line.
Yeah, old man line. Yeah. It's funny. I feel like Tom Crean's the kind of guy that would call his team a bunch of ragamuffins.
Yeah. I also think Tom Crean's a guy that would have put his middle fingers up at the NIT if you're getting screwed out of the NCAA like these teams just did.
I don't think so. Crean's a basketball. He's like a purist.
Where's the NIT? What station is the NIT tournament on?
It's on ESPN.
Thank you.
Oh, I see.
Oh, come on.
Crean's also doing games for Westwood One.
Right. I mean, Tom Crean's going to go out there and be a company man. I don't see that. I don't see that at all.
That I might see.
No, I mean, so why would you put Jay? Why wouldn't Jay Billis make that paint? Why wouldn't Jay Williams? I'm not trying to say that.
Because they don't care about the tournament.
No, but so you put Tom Crean up there? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if you're going to have to say, oh, we're ESPN, we need a big name to go out there and say, hey, let's get some good teams in NIT. Does anybody know Tom Crean works at ESPN? I didn't know until I heard this clip today.
I thought he was coaching.
Right. I thought he was still coaching, too. I thought he was at a smaller school. I forgot he got fired by Georgia. Like, I'm sorry. This thing still annoys me. And by the way, you talk about players going to the NBA, Colby Jones, Lamar Stevens, Kenrick Williams, all guys who were the MVPs in NIT and ended up getting on NBA rosters.
There you go.
Obviously, the most important NIT champion came in 2016.
GW?
Yeah. GW.
Oh, by
and nobody went to the NBA off of that team. Actually, that's not true.
Was Watanabe on that
team?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I actually interviewed Watanabe. Cool dude.
Pete, you remind me of something very important.
That's what we do at GW.
So the NIT will be on ESPN. Easy enough. I know where that is on my TV. Now it's the annual rite of me turning around trying to find the NCAA tournament games. What channel is True TV again?
Still
and
no clue.
I will go to TBS and watch a full episode of Bones or Rizzoli and Isles waiting for the game every time. The Turner tournament thing, it's been a long time now, and I still can't get used to it.
There are a lot of impractical jokers.
Yeah.
Yes, totally.
And on DirecTV, they're all in line. They're all right there.
No,
boom, boom.
No, TBS and TNT are two apart, right?
With True TV in the middle.
Oh, is that okay?
On my TV, they're 245, 246, 247, or something like that.
When I moved back to New York for Lehigh Valley, and now I don't have DirecTV. My family did. That was really tenuous trying to figure out. Actually, at one point, I said, you know what? Let me just download the app. So I can just then stream it on my TV and just go easily from game to game as opposed to trying to find these channels.
As opposed to me, he was looking for a round of 32 game and sitting watching a 3-hour marathon of Charmed.
That was me. That was me. And I said, I can't do this. I got to just get the app because I don't know what these channels are.
Guys, technology has made our lives so much easier. You don't do the voice thing on your remote.
No. Oh, I do. And it only works about half the time.
It works half the time, but like this is the time to kind of cash in on that
50%. I don't think Spectrum has got to that level of
you can't do a voice thing on your remote
Spectrum.
No, I have Spectrum. You can do it. It's on the TV.
Oh, you can. Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah, and I keep saying, find The Bachelor, and it'll just go to who knows what or whatever.
You shouldn't be watching that, sir.
Yeah, it talks back to you.
It just types back. It just tells you, are you serious?
Yeah. It's like Google, like, did you mean the Big East? Like, no, I meant The Bachelor.
By the way, I said The Bachelor. I was aiming for something that wouldn't embarrass me compared to what I really watch.
Is this when you're home alone in the afternoons?
Oh, yeah.
Doing your elbow stretches?
Now Perloff doesn't have to watch TV at home. He can go out and play laser tag.
Oh, yeah.
Saw that.
Big weekend. Team building activity in the future. Maggie and Perloff show laser tag. Who's into it? I played this weekend, took out some 12-year-olds.
Were they yours?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, were your daughters on your team, or were they?
So it was 10 12-year-old girls and my birthday party against 10 12-year-old boys who've been playing Call of Duty their whole life and were somehow trained by elite ninjas, because I thought I was safe, and all of a sudden there were three boys on me. It was, well, that sounds weird. Sorry. But laser tag, kids are really good at laser tag, but they're small. They can get it.
I know.
They can get around easily. But here's the thing.
You're a big target, dude. And you got a bad knee.
Yeah.
And a weird thing happened. There was some adults who wanted to play but weren't part of any party. So they got to join the boys program.
Wait, they're just random adults?
Random. So it wasn't a closed laser tag field. You could sign up to play laser tag. So there was these 12-year-old kids and three or four adults who were running around who were very good. So I got killed many, many times.
Wait a minute. What would it take for you to be an adult, not accompanied by a child, to go play laser tag?
Nothing now. I will totally
ayahuasca.
Rather do that than watch the NIT.
I tell you what, there's going to be a detective or something waiting at the door.
There was a couple there who was on a second date, and they decided to play laser
tag. How do you know it was a second date? Did they say?
I asked them. Oh, yeah, we hung out most of the day.
Second date is... that's
That's a fun idea. Let's go play laser tag. And the only way to play was to play against kids.
That's why it doesn't make sense to me, because there's too many variables now that I can't control. If I'm the person that's proposing a second date, I don't know if one of these kids is a crazy person, or one of these apparent adults who are playing are a crazy person that play too serious. Like, I had a friend, I love him, but like, he took laser tag way too serious. Like, he's the guy that's like jumping over the walls and jumping through the little passageways. Like,
yeah, it's easy James Bond.
Right. He thinks he's 007. Yeah.
So this is where this backfires for the dude. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're the woman on the date and the guy's acting too aggressively or taking this too seriously, there's not a third date.
Exactly.
Because you're a gym class diehard or whatever, do laser tag, take it out a 12-year-old. That's not attractive.
No, but actually the woman was very good. She was actually better than him. She killed me about 14 different times.
Maybe she just saw you as a sitting duck. Easy kill.
Trust me. My wife was watching from above. She's like, you know, the other team was stalking you the whole time, because it was 6'3" me and a bunch of 5-foot-tall 12-year-old girls. For some reason, I'm the one who got shot every time.
You're like a wounded giraffe. That's why you're limping. You're taller than the partitions.
The adrenaline flowed and I didn't even feel my knee problem.
This is how it gets worse.
So bad. I had to ice for 3 hours. I was in pain afterwards.
I can't wait until you inevitably tell a professional athlete about this and they say, how did you hurt it? Oh, skiing. How'd you re-hurt it? Laser tag.
Question. Of the five of us right here in this room, who do you think the best laser tag player would be? So, Maggie's very competitive.
I feel like Bo should be good.
What's that?
I feel like Bogus would be good.
No, Bogus told us he was jogging today or over the weekend, and it was an epic poem.
Yeah, no thanks. My legs are still on fire. I don't know. Does Pete's rage factor into laser tag skill?
Yes. Probably.
Yes. I don't think rage helps you in laser tag. I think you end up making impulsive decisions that leave you wide open just getting burnt.
Although Pete is the youngest kids out of all of us now, so he's spending a lot of time crawling around on the ground.
Oh, good point.
You got to be very...
Leg lifts, everything, running stairs, everything.
EJ is also just the youngest of the group, meaning he's maybe played more recently.
Yeah. The last time I played laser tag, I think, was 2016.
Well, the fact that it started with a 2 is going to take
that. I played Saturday.
Yeah. Right. Well, before but not Saturday. Well.
Yeah. When was the last time you played before Saturday? Actually, I'm
1997.
Curious.
I did paintball about 6 years ago.
Okay. It's around the time I played.
Paintball is way. Now, paintball is intense because it hurts. Laser tag, it's pain free.
Just your pride.
Getting shot in paintball. I think we should do a team building activity. We get out to the range and play paintball.
How about dodgeball?
That'd be fun too.
I love dodgeball.
No, I'm not playing dodgeball with you guys.
Win that?
What?
No shot.
What?
I'm not taking one in the face from one of you guys just because it's ha ha ha. No.
Well, you know what happens though in our gym class in elementary school? If you hit somebody in the head, you get eliminated.
Yeah. Wow. Who do you think's enforcing that rule?
I think I'd be actually.
I have a whistle. He'll definitely enforce it.
I think I'd be good at dodgeball. I'm very skinny, so if I turn horizontally, I'm a very thin target. Yeah, you're not going to be able to hit me directly.
Like we should be a
you're
team.
Like Emma Stone.
We should be a team that has to face another show. I think we should face the Zach Gelb show. I'm putting it out there right now.
Yeah.
I want smoke with Stu. I want smoke with Rich Ackerman. I want smoke with Samter.
Rich Ackerman. Samter's tough.
I'll take an elimination to hit Samter in the head.
Samter's tough.
Samter's
a pretty good athlete. He's a baseball player and he's short.
Yeah, some more target thing would be tricky, but I think we could take them as a group.
By very smart. We're not playing dodgeball against some of the other shows in this building. No, I'm not getting hit by Boomer Esiason.
No.
Winging it left handed.
Yeah, or crazy.
BT is a baseball player.
Yeah, I'm not competing athletically against Tiki Barber. None of that's going to happen.
Yeah, but he's too nice. He'll just like underhand the ball at you, so you'll catch it, then he's out.
And yeah, Tiki would feel so bad if he hit you. He would feel awful.
But then again, Saquon Barkley, we now know, is really good at dodgeball. Does that transfer to giant running backs?
Oh, we're not going to start that.
That's how they should settle this. Once and for all. Tiki versus Saquon, dodgeball / laser tag.
I mean,
there's
a lot more toxic ends to that. Like, that probably would maybe smooth things over. I love dodgeball. I would love to play against one of these teams.
Any more time for any more headlines?
Yeah, I don't think so. It doesn't matter.
Jim Rome, super competitive. Just keep it in mind. I think he'd have something to say on this.
That would be a squad I would be worried about.
Jim would fly from California to New York to kick all of our asses.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
And I would let him.
and he would prevail. Right?
All right, Temple basketball over there.
It's in our contract, right?
Jim, you win again.
The only dodgeball team ever to point shave dodgeball, company dodgeball. The Maggie and Perloff show.
Jim, by all means, call the FBI. By all means, hit me right in my stomach. Thank you.
I just picture standing right in front of our boss, Chris Olivero, and being like, I'm going to throw it 12 feet to the right.
We do golf. Jim gets 18 hole-in-ones. Just like, you did it again.
Wow.
You nailed it.
300 against bowling? Wow.
People didn't know Jim Rome is the greatest living athlete.
He's in charge of North Korea.
He's not Putin. Yeah, scoring 14 goals in a hockey game.
We just want to keep Jim as happy as possible is what I'm saying. We respect him. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. He's done more in this business than any of us could ever dream. Okay, lots more that we have to do, including the big things, our big takeaways from the NCAA tournament, brackets. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Okay, housekeeping stuff here that's really important. If you would like to go vote on the Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket, this is One Hit Wonders. We revealed the weddings region today. We'll do another region tomorrow. Go vote, because that's how these one-hit wonders move along to the second round, Perloff. You've got to go vote, or we'd love you to go vote, at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter.
Yeah, by the way, there's some very interesting battles already shaping up. This is going to be great on Twitter.
Okay, so the number one seed in this bracket, My Sharona, with a 16 seed, Tainted Love. I saw you're already calling an upset on that one. That we have the Macarena in here. We've got Ice Ice Baby, Mambo Number 5, Teach Me How to Dougie. So there's a lot of variety of one-hit wonders just in this weddings region alone.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of controversy. You can vote whether you like the song, whether you think... I think one criteria of a one-hit wonder is how bad the artist was in all his other songs. So, because that's what one-hit wonder means. Oh, man, this person couldn't do anything besides this song. And listen, I don't know any other Lou Bega songs other than Mambo Number 5.
There aren't any.
But Vanilla Ice is his own category. If you one-hit wonder who has a life story like that, that's pretty cool, too.
There's so many different varieties of stuff. And again, this is just the first region. EJ and Andrew Kaplan are working tirelessly on this. So we will reveal another region tomorrow. EJ, do you know which region we're doing tomorrow? Decided yet?
I don't think we've decided. I assume we're going to go in order. And I don't remember. I don't have the Excel sheet in my head. But I think it's not cruising. I think it might be Last Call.
Are we going to go Last Call tomorrow?
Yeah, Last Call tomorrow will be the next one. We do.
Okay, so we'll go from the weddings region to the Last Call region. Ooh. This one is a doozy.
Is that song Closing Time going to be on the Last Call?
You're going to have to find out. Could they be an 11 seed? I don't know.
Do they have more than one song?
No,
whoever.
They do not. But hey,
and when I say they, I have no idea who wrote that song, which
nobody
is another
does.
Good sign for
that's
one.
Well, that was the problem when Maggie, you know, we all worked on the sheet, and Maggie did an awesome job pulling up kind of a master list. She put all the songs down there. No artist.
Sorry.
So searching some of these terms and still not coming up with songs, I'm like, who's the artist? Who's the artist?
Well, I got to tell you, there's some songs that have very famous other versions of the same name, like Jump. I'm like, Van Halen's Jump? That's not a one-hit wonder.
Yes, I saw that too.
You can also go vote on our Pearl Jam Season 3. We have that on our social media as well. That's the traditional bracket. Go vote, join, and have fun with us throughout the month of March. Thank you, DJ Stewart, Pete Pilotti, Andrew Kaplan, Andrew Bogish, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers. We'll see you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.